Let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 4. And we've been talking about the need in this last hour to guard our own hearts against the secret power of lawlessness. And we realize that the scripture says, you know, when Antichrist comes and begins to manifest his power in the earth, that it's going to be manifest in a way that many of us as believers are going to be very, very susceptible to deception. Not only is he going to come in signs and lying wonders, but there's going to be the manifestation of a false unity and harmony, because remember, the Antichrist is not the first player to come on the scene. The Antichrist is going to be thrust into power through the apostate religious system, or the great whore that the scripture speaks of. And the preparation of that great whore has been taking place for a long time now. And one of the ways that it's being affected in the world, and a lot of influence here in America, is through the diminishing of the Word of God, to where people are beginning to move in extra-biblical directions. And though people are not necessarily saying, I received a fresh revelation and I hold this equal to the Word of God, their decision-making is contrary to the Word of God, while saying they believe in the Word of God. And we need to examine our own hearts and realize that same spirit is what you and I are facing every day as we're choosing to walk in the wisdom of God and according to the illumination of God's Word. It must be a lamp unto our feet, amen? And the only source of direction for our lives. So as we're looking to see what God has for our lives, you don't need to be spending hours and hours in prayer. God, what do you have for me? God, what do you have for me? We need to be spending time in the Word of God, because His will has already been revealed in His Word. Amen? Now, I can tell you God's will for your life. The Bible says it. This is God's will for your life, even sanctification. And so we've shared in the past by spiritual guidance. We pray so many times, where do you want me, God? If you get how God wants you, He can get you where He wants you. Because now you're hearing His voice and not your own. Most of what people are receiving today as the Word of God, I've this prayer and I got this inner witness and God spoke to me. I want to tell you something. That voice is 99.9% of the time you. And the first thing you have to do is take that voice and hold it up against, Peter says, the more sure word of prophecy. Amen? The spirit of all prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, the life of Christ, the Word of God, both living and written. We have to be careful in this hour. And that spirit that I'm talking about, that we get that inner witness, God said to me, God said to me. Beloved, it needs to be God said to me. Amen? Oh, you know, you all been around here lots of years. You know that I believe in spiritual guidance and in the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. But beloved, that voice has to be held up against the Word of God. We cannot add to nor diminish from this Word. Amen? Thy word is truth, and let every man be a liar. And so as we're coming into this last hour, the way the false prophet is going to move into setting up the Antichrist and bringing him into preeminence is going to be through the weakening of the church of God, the backing off of the church in the absolutes, the absolute biblical truths that you and I embrace, that are becoming very antagonistic to the world in which we live. This country, as we've shared before, is no longer a Christian nation. And so many people have said in the last decade or so that America has diminished into a post-Christian era. And I don't believe that. I believe that we've gone past that. We are not only post-Christian, we are anti-Christian. So how do we stand as a people in this hour and not be influenced by the masses of professed Christians who are going to let you and I know that, you know, you just don't have to be that fanatical. You don't have to be that rigid. Let me tell you one thing about our God. He is not tolerant. Amen? There is no tolerance in God. God is love. And God is merciful, and God is kind, and God is long-suffering, but He will not tolerate the opposition of His name, of His person, of His word, praise God. And so, as we've been in the study and we're looking at these things and we're saying, okay, practically, how does this affect our lives? You know, we're sitting here and the Bible says the Spirit in Thessalonians, the spirit of iniquity is going to abound. We know that the love of many is going to wax cold. Turn over to Thessalonians for just a second and let's look at that passage. There's one statement there that I want to really get into our hearts and I think it'll be the last little bit of review that we do here. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see in the preceding verses that it's talking about the return of the Lord. And he says, don't let any man deceive you in verse 3, that day the return of the Lord will not come except there come first a falling away and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped. So that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This day is just around the corner. Now, people don't want to believe that today, and we don't hear a lot of teaching today on eschatology anymore, because much of the professed church of Jesus Christ have become earth dwellers. Most of Christianity really has no desire to leave this planet to go and be with the Lord. We've got it pretty good here. We've got a task at hand. Some of us, you know, delighting in our own, you know, in our own involvement in churches and in ministries and all of these different things. Let me remind you that our evangelism is for the purpose of hastening the return of the Lord. Amen. I don't want to get too far off on that, but to show you this hour, and he says that day's coming, but before it comes, there has to be a great falling away. That word in the Greek, that falling away is the Greek word apostasia. We know and use the English term apostasy, and when someone is wrong doctrinally, we'll say that's apostasy. How could you bring that? You've departed from the foundation of the faith. You've apostatized. Well, the word is used to also mean a catching away, a departing from, and it's not only a departing from the faith that's being spoken of here especially, it's a departing from our ministry and our role as the restraining force in the world, the church's departure to meet him in the air, praise God. Amen? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. You ready to go tonight? Got your bags packed? You'll be leaving them. Because we brought nothing into the world and we're taking nothing out. Amen? So everything we've gathered that's so precious to us, it's going to burn up. We're sure not taking it with us. He is all in all. Hallelujah. All of your works, all of your ministry, and we stand before Him and He gives us that great crown in that last day, and the Scripture is so clear, we just cast it at His feet, praise God, and cry, holy, holy, holy. We've got a job here to do. We've got souls to reach. And as we prepare ourselves to go out, and we've, as the Lord's been using you in these last months and years, thank God for the lives that are being touched. Thank God for the boldness in your lives as you're going out and witnessing this word in the highways and the byways. But the more committed and dedicated we become to that, the greater the opposition's going to be. The greater the enemy's going to come in and try to bring this apostasy and doctrine, which will keep you from the apostasy of the great catching away. That's what he goes on to say here. He says, verse 7, look, he says, the mystery of iniquity does already work. So it was working in Paul's day, it's working today. The Scripture from the first century has talked about antichrists, but the person of antichrist, this man of sin, the son of perdition, this personality is yet to come. I personally think he's here now. I think he's alive on planet Earth. I have no question that people in this room will see him. And that should sober us up. Even as we talk about the teaching of eschatology, let me remind you, Jesus is going to come and appear to those that are looking for him. Amen? Is your heart's cry, have you lived this very day today thinking about, looking for, anticipating, loving the return of the Lord? Anticipating it at any moment? If you live with that urgency, it'll change your life. It'll change your priorities. He's going to appear to those that are looking for him. He's going to appear to those that love his appearing. Isn't that what the Scripture says? Oh, we need to stir ourselves up, man, and start looking up. Our redemption's drawing nigh, praise God. Now, while we're looking up, the Scripture says we're to occupy till he comes. What we occupy ourselves with is soul winning. What we occupy ourselves with is the edification of the body of Christ. And both of those are equally important. You know, we have people that get caught up in the church many times, and leaders, and they emphasize things. And we have people that emphasize evangelism, like evangelism is all there is to Christianity. It doesn't do any good to win souls if you can't see them matured and last until Jesus comes and present them to him holy and unblameable. Amen? Discipleship is every bit as important as evangelism. And so we as a fellowship have tried to hold them equal. We put emphasis on both and make them equally important. Preparing that bride for the soon coming of the bridegroom. He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. How vital it is to see the church purified and mature. Now with all of that, we see that this man of sin, who if I'm right, and I believe I am, and I try to live my life accordingly, I believe with all of my heart in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. There is nothing hindering that trumpet from blowing tonight. That's imminence. And every man that has that hope in him, 1 John says, purifies himself even as he is pure. Amen? Oh, we've got to prepare our hearts for Jesus coming. As we'll see tonight, and I'm off track a little bit here on the introduction, but we'll get there. We've got to prepare our children for Jesus coming. We've got to prepare our children to live in a godless nation called the United States of America. An anti-Christian nation. To be able to stand and not get sucked into Christian politics. There is no such thing. And the social gospel. There is no such thing. And the ministries that have set themselves up, and we're going to go and we're going to alleviate poverty, and we're going to reach the poor and stamp out poverty in the world. You better pick this book up, because those comments make you in opposition to Jesus, because Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. Amen? You see, this is what I'm talking about practically when I'm talking about we've got to give preeminence to the Word of God. These doctrines that sound so good. Doesn't it sound good to go feed all the poor people? Doesn't that sound like a good thing to do? I mean, it's the Christian thing to do. Is it? If we study the Word of God, we find out that the first responsibility of the Christian is to feed Christians. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? First, the household of faith. You see how easy we can get off course with things that sound so good, look so good? But what does the Word of God really say? And are we willing then to take our stand when everybody else is jumping on these bandwagons, these parachurch bandwagons, to stand and say, no, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's what's going to make us hated in our generation. That's what's going to cause the persecution of today's Pharisees to begin to be placed upon the true church. And how necessary it is, as we're going to see tonight, to prepare our children for the spirit of the age, should the Lord tarry. And so we see then here in this passage in Thessalonians, he says, the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Now that mystery of iniquity, the Greek really, what we're talking about is, it's the secret power of lawlessness. The secret power of lawlessness. Okay. Now, we're coming into an age of lawlessness where every man, just like it was in the days of Noah, every man doing what's right in his own eyes. We live in a lawless society. But I'm not talking about civil lawlessness. I'm talking about lawlessness within the church. Most of the professed church of Jesus Christ today doesn't like the law of God. Don't talk to me about the law. I'm in the Spirit. And that spirit of lawlessness that's so powerful in the visible and professed church today will influence you and I if we're not careful. In fact, the scripture says if the time were not shortened, even the very elect could be deceived. This power of antinomianism that's in the church today, Antinomianism, it just means against the law or opposing the law. Beloved, the law is something that you and I should love with all of our hearts. Amen? This law of God, the precepts of God. When we talk about the law, we're talking not only about, and so often we confuse it, you know, with the ceremonial laws that took place. But when the scripture speaks of itself, referring to the law of God, it's talking about the wisdom of God, the power of God, the will of God being manifested, and all of these other things that are so vital. Stay in Thessalonians there and flip over to Psalms real quick in Psalms 19:7. We know this verse. The law of the Lord is, say it, perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, amen, yea, than much fine gold. Now, take your average Christian today, put a pile of gold over here, put the Word of God over here, and say, choose one. How precious to you tonight is the wisdom of God. How great a treasure is it to know that you have the mind of Christ, that you know exactly you're where God wants you. You're comfortable in your communion and relationship with Him. You can get quiet and hear His voice. What a treasure, amen? Don't you see this wisdom of God, the presence of God? God can whip up a pile of gold anytime He wants. God can speak it ex nihilo into existence out of nothing. I mean, He spoke the whole world into existence. Amen. What's a pile of gold? When I say the love of God or the love of the Word, I'm not just talking about loving to study the Bible. I'm not talking about loving the fact that, you know, we have this biblical knowledge and because of that, we're wiser than people around us. I'm talking about loving the Word of God so that we are equipped to obey the Word of God and bring glory and honor to Jesus. Look what he goes on to say here. You know, if we look, I like what Romans chapter 7 says, and look at verse 12 as we're looking at our love for the Word of God. Your law is perfect. It converts the soul. It's sure. It's the sure source of all wisdom and makes wise the simple. Many of us don't like to think of ourselves as being simple. And some of us here are pretty intelligent. But up against omniscience, you're simple. Amen. So let's remember who we are. Who the Creator is and who the creature is. Whose will it is that's supposed to be done, not ours. And so he says this, and I love what he says here in Romans 7 when he's talking about the law of God. He says, the law of God, the law is holy. Okay, now remember what we're talking about. There is a supernatural power manifesting from Satan through Antichrist, through the great whore, into the church, that opposes the law of God. And it says something like this. There's a lot of paths to God. Right? You ever talk to anybody that gave you that one? There's a lot of paths to God. I talked to a guy just on the trip when we were just away and talked to a guy. There's a lot of paths to God. I said, no, there's not. Oh, well, you know, if you just believe strongly and you realize and you're just kind to people and your good works are greater than your bad deeds. I said, no, you're wrong. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. Amen? That's the law of God. That is a law established by the omnipotent, almighty God. Can't change it. Nope, not a lot of paths, sorry. One way. Thy word is truth, John 17. Doesn't contain truth. You've got to watch out when you're talking to Christians. There's a lot of Christians who will agree, oh yeah, I believe, yeah, the word is truth. What they really say when you start talking deeply is it contains the truth. We can glean truth from the Bible. Do you believe that the Bible is infallible, inerrant, God-breathed? And the more you start talking to people who say they believe in God and believe the Word of God, believe some derivative of a man-made doctrine that is not purely the Word of God. The scripture says, very clear, as he's speaking here in Romans, that this word, Timothy says it's a word that is profitable, amen? It's good, it's profitable for teaching, and we realize that it's a word that's profitable for reproof, and it's a word that instructs us into righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Paul says here by the Holy Ghost, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. How do we approach the law tonight as it pertains to us? What about when you put yourself into the presence of God and you open this book, as we've talked about in James says, it's a mirror, and you look in there, and if you don't remain in it, you forget what manner of person you are. How about when the Word of God begins to be more than just encouragement to us? How about when we get away from the blessing scriptures? How about when the Word of God becomes a chastening factor to us? How about when this Word reaches into your life and says, you're going to give that up and you're going to give that up? Amen? Is it holy and just and good then? Do you love it? Is it more precious than gold? The practical living before the Word of God. You never pause. Whenever you see or hear it is written, that settles it in your mind. Amen? I don't need anything else. That's what the Bible says. That's what I'm doing, praise God. Isn't that how you acted when you first got saved? Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Find me a sick guy. I want to get my hands on him. Amen. The Bible says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes understanding will come and keep my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I'm tired of all this worry. I'm not worrying anymore. Praise God. Amen. I'm not being anxious for anything. Praise God. You can worry if you want. I'm going to sleep back here in the boat with Jesus. Remember when the Word was that pure and holy to you? Some parents tonight might have even gotten a little bit concerned about saying where we're going, the missions team going this time. But remember when you first got saved and you believed that there was no weapon formed against you that could prosper, and any tongue and any judgment of Satan that would rise up against you, you would condemn, for that's your heritage in as a servant of the Lord? You remember when you used to read and see that the righteous are as bold as a lion, and so bless God, you picked up and you went out into the streets, and some of you used to roam up and down 14th Street and go through Georgetown and preach the gospel to prostitutes and all of the homeless, and didn't think a thing about it, and stayed out till 1 and 2 in the morning, and then came in the next morning here to church, and it was just so normative, and you were so thankful to do it. Amen. Where is our love and zeal for the Word of God like it used to be? What's changed? Oh, we're doing a good job in our outreaches and different things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a heart attitude here that is just so absolutely, absolutely zealous for the Word of God to rule in our hearts, that everything that it requires of us and everything that it says belongs to us, we take, praise God. And my healing belongs to me. And joy belongs to me. And peace belongs to me. Amen? And my unsaved children need to come home, praise God. Because the Word of God says, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. We get on our faces before God and we battle with this Word in the heavenlies. And we take this Bible and we lift it up to Satan and to principalities and powers and remind them who God is and remind them who we are in Christ. That's a love for the Word of God. That's the power of this Word. The Word of God, Hebrews 4, the Word of God is alive. It's powerful, praise God. It's powerful. It consumes our inner being. It consumes our bones, the prophet said. I can't contain it. The prophet of God said, the disciples went on and said it later, we can't help but speak the things that we've seen and heard. Jeremiah said that thing burned in him, praise God, and he absolutely couldn't keep his mouth shut. Amen. And the Bible says that word came forth from him like a fire, and it consumed all that was opposing the Word and wisdom of God. It came forth like a hammer and broke the rock in pieces. Take the Word of God in your heart tonight and begin to speak it out of your mouth and declare the promises of God. And just because people have abused this teaching through the blab it, grab it mentality of the Word of Faith teaching and how askew that particular group went, doesn't mean that it's not a biblical principle just because somebody abused it. These words have got to be spoken. They need to be alive in us. Out of our innermost being, gushing forth the Word of God, this Word of life, as living water. You know, we were looking over into the 119th Psalm in our last session, and go ahead and turn over there for just a moment. As you're turning over there, we talked about those that are antinomian, those that are opposing the law, those that are going to be deceived. He comes back down and says, here's the real tragedy, verse 10. Because they received not, verse 10, because they received not the love of the truth, thy word is, because they received not the word of the truth, uncompromised, unapologized for, not interpreted. We don't need more commentators. We don't need more students. We need more doers. Amen? If we're hearers of this word and not doers, we're a deceived people. And we've been challenging ourselves lately with this question. Okay, what's God been telling me needs to change in my life? What is the word of God illuminating here in my life that needs to change? Positive, negative. What's God saying to me? Are there things that I need to drop off from my life? Are there things that I need to add to my life? The biblical principle in Colossians, put off, put on. Right? How do we know if we're not saturating ourselves daily with the Word of God? See, the teaching tonight, what I've planned on teaching anyway, and what all my notes are on meditation. The need for us to meditate upon this Word day and night. And then our ways will be made prosperous. And we'll have good success. And as we've shared with you before, that Hebrew word meditate, it doesn't mean to just mull over in our mind. It means to utter. It means to constantly be reciting the Word of God, the promises of God. We shared with you, it was very much like the Deuteronomy passage. It tells us to make sure that the law of God, these commandments, that they're nailed upon the doorposts of our homes. Amen? That we teach them to our children when we lie down, when we rise up, when we walk in the way. It's all your kids should be hearing. It's all they should be seeing. Take those little devices and all the stupid games and all the stupid cartoons and make sure that they're getting the Word of God. Amen? Saturated with the Word of God. Know nothing but the Word of God. Then shall your way be made prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Praise God. If God's for us, nobody can be against us. If we'll hold to God's methods, man, we'll be 10 times wiser than anything the world can produce. But if we don't make the resolve to do the Word of God, don't expect the fourth man to show up in the furnace. And we're coming into that hour when we're going to need God supernaturally sustaining us. We're going to get called before the courts. Or even worse than that. You know, one of the most powerful forces on the planet today. HR. And Jesus said, when you get called before HR, Don't stand and meditate. Don't try to get a lawyer. Don't think about what you're going to say before you get there. I'll give you what to speak, praise God. Amen? Do you believe that? That's the Bible. When the world jerks you up and asks you to answer for why it is you're preaching this gospel, why it is you're not becoming one of them, why you're not bowing to Caesar, he said, I'll give you the words to speak, praise God. I was in court years ago. It was a child custody case, I think it was. And there was adultery involved in a number of different things. And like happens tragically so often, people, they wanted to bring their doctrines into the courts and all of these different things. And, you know, if you're going to go to court, it's best not to fight with their weapons. But I'll try to shorten this up. So we go in there and they call me up on the stand and I go up there and this family had been part of the church. The one that had apostatized, living in sin, blatant sin, still professing to be a Christian. So of course, according to the scriptures, you can't fellowship with them, can't even eat with them. How much do we practice that today ourselves when it pertains to our relatives and friends that say they're Christians and they're adulterers and they're fornicators and they're drunkards and they're railers? You can't even fellowship with them. Are you doing it? I know a bunch of us that are. How many of you know that Corinthians 7 is part of the Bible? Are we going to do the word or aren't we going to do the word? That's the very thing that happened in the life of Greer and Cindy years ago. Some of you don't even know that testimony, and I won't go into the details of it. But at one point, there was that conflict, and Greer said, Mom, I want you to know, according to 1 Corinthians 7, I can't any longer associate with you. How heartbreaking is that for both parties? Amen? And here's a little girl standing on the Word of God, brokenhearted, weeping over this division, but choosing to do the Word of God. Fast forward. I don't even know if Cindy remembers making reference to this, but in this thing where she found out that Greer and I were going to be married, and it was like, I don't think so. And I'll shorten the story, but she came and I invited her into the home and she came in and she looked at Greer and she said something along these lines. These may not be exact, but it was along the lines of Greer, you're glowing. You're just glowing. And she said, Mom, this is God's will. And Cindy made a comment somewhere along these lines. If you say this is the word of God and the will of God for you, then I believe you because you always kept the word since you've been a Christian, you've always obeyed the scriptures, even at the cost of losing me, your mother, at the cost of many other things. Don't you want that to be your testimony? Don't you want it known that you're a person that's going to do the Word of God? The Bible says even swearing to our own hurt. What happens when you do it God's way? Amen? It's a beautiful testimony if you haven't heard all the details of it, but the point that I'm making, you do the Word of God. How easy is it to compromise? It's just one little thing. Are we or are we not going to give an answer for every idle word we speak? You know, I think many of us forget the beam of judgment. We're still going through a judgment. Every word, every deed, every motive tried. Let's see if I can finish the introduction. Because they love not the truth, antinomian, because I apply only parts of the word, because at this moment this is so hard for me emotionally, I'm not going to do that part of the word. I know it's what the scripture says. God will understand. And this is going to get into next week's teaching. And 1 John says I can confess it and... Now I know this is wrong. I know I should be doing that. I know it's the Bible, but I just can't bring myself to it because of my emotional ties, because it's mom, it's auntie, it's grandma, it's my job. It'll cost me my reputation, whatever it is. But I know God will understand. No, God doesn't understand. God doesn't understand at all. We're going to give an answer. And because they love not the truth, look what it says, God will give them over. Look at this. Look how powerful this is. For this cause, verse 11, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now here's what happens. When you reject knowingly the word of God, God himself will send you strong delusion. He'll allow you to move off into all depths of deception, double-mindedness. Justification of rebellion. So that you would believe a lie. Oh, beloved, how we need to love the truth. Amen. What's Father been speaking to you lately? That needs to change and you just won't do it. You justify it. How has this word been diminished in our eyes? We'll finish with this for tonight. Look at all those good verses that went to waste. Back to Psalm 119 and we'll unhook with this. You know, in the 128th verse, this is a passage that I just constantly meditate on. Mutter, constantly putting it in my mind and in my mouth. Under the unction of the Holy Ghost, the wisdom of God says, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts. Say the next phrase with me. Concerning all things. Therefore, I esteem all of thy precepts. We talked Sunday night about the fact that there's been such a loss of esteem for the Word of God. Verse 15 of this same chapter says, I'll meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. And we've talked about how we've lost respect for the Word of God, the methods of God. We think we can somehow add to them or give them a fresh 21st century twist and make it palatable to ourselves and others. What a disrespect. We all know what it is. I've dealt with this. I've had people over the years, different ones who for decades have said they were my friends, that they acknowledged the call of God on my life, that the doctrine that we had taught them was right. Until in one particular area, they got ticked off. And after 20 years of saying that they had respect for the man of God, an absolute disrespect and dishonor and judgment. For some reason, all of the wisdom that we spoke and all of the knowledge of the Word of God that had been conveyed was no longer available. When you respect someone and give them this esteem in your own heart and your own mind, to then diminish that without reason or cause is disrespect, a disengaging. You know, we've had a lot of people leave our church. And I hadn't really thought about this until just the other day. I was thinking about something and, you know, sometimes you can get in trouble doing that. But I was sitting there and I was thinking about something. I said, you know, I'm talking to myself. I said, you know, that's Bible. One of the Hebrew words means talk to yourself when it talks about meditation. So I was on course scripturally. I was talking to myself and I said, you know, you've been a good friend. Because I've thought about every one of those encounters, and you know what? I was never the one that walked away. Many, many, many of them sat with them to the last moment, pleading with them to see the Word of God. Can't you see this? Can't you? You used to believe this. You used to see this. Can't you see it? No longer. Heart or eyes for the Word of God, for the truth. Every one of them, welcome back. If they would just get back in fellowship and right standing with Father. the point that I'm making? I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. Every way that's not of the Bible, I hate. I hate these broken relationships. I hate the fact that Satan takes people captive at his own will and he blinds their eyes. I hate the fact that the scripture becomes so true in so many of these cases that these things are spiritually discerned and the natural carnal mind cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness to them. What used to be a treasure is now foolishness. The Bible hasn't changed. What's wrong? It's the same verses. Why are you reacting that way? Because we lose esteem for the Word of God. I esteem all of your precepts concerning what? All things. All things. That one thing that we reserve that we won't let the Word touch. Yeah, that's true for everybody else, but my situation. We're special. We're different. We're an exception. To be right. And I hate every false way. Father, give us a hatred tonight for anything that would oppose your word. Stir our hearts and cause us to love your word. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. My mind is always on the Bible. It's always on the Word. It's always, what more can I do to become more Christ-like? What can I do to love my brothers more than I love myself? What can I do to edify the body of Christ? How can I prefer others better than myself? How can I move in love? Help me to think no evil. Help me to not be puffed up, not to demand my own way. To not behave myself unseemingly. Father, I ask you that this 120th verse would be reinstated to the church. My flesh trembles for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Oh, Father, we've saturated our hearts and minds over these last months with your love and mercy and tenderness and goodness. But you are an awesome God. You are a terrible God. You are a consuming fire. And the only way for us to not be put under that fire is to be washed with the water of the Word. Cleanse us, Lord, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Bring us together in fellowship, Father, and dependence upon one another, and let us hear the words of our companions. For you've said in the 63rd verse, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. That's who we want to hang out with. That's who our friends are. That's who we surround ourselves with, so that we could mutter the Word of God back and forth continually and lift the Word of God up and allow faith to rise in our hearts, because it comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Are you sick tonight? Then hang out with people that'll just tell you God wants you healed, praise God. That'll quote the Word of God to you. That'll pray for you over and over again. I don't know how many times I laid hands on Greer when she came back from Africa with that disease and whatever it was, and they never could determine. One whole year. And then one more time, as we were in that gymnasium and I saw she was hurting and suffering, and I said, "You're hurting again? Yeah, let me pray for you." And just laid hands on her and prayed the same prayer I'd prayed 100 times. And God's mercy and grace manifested, and she's never had a problem since. Praise God. Meditating upon the Word day and night. Speaking of it when you rise up. When you walk in the way, when you lie down, the good things that God has for us. Lord, Thou art good and doest good. Teach me Your word, praise God. More desired than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honeycomb. Hallelujah. We'll give You all the praise and all of the honor, Father, for what You work in our hearts through Your word. Without this word, we can do nothing. But I will never be ashamed when I have respect unto all of Your commandments. And I give You the praise and all of the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before you go, turn to somebody next to you and say, "His word's truth, praise God." Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.